Good morning, everybody. Welcome today. Today, I think, is Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. The 5th, the revenge of the 5th. Yesterday we had March 4th. We need to go forth. Today is the revenge of the 5th. For all you Star Wars fans. I want to read this verse before we get started. one of the things that excited me is that the Bible app finally has Isaiah, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Ezekiel, Genesis, and Daniel in the Passion Translation on the app. So I'm excited about that. And anyway, I want to look at this verse. We'll get into John 17 in just a second. But it says, and this really got to me. It says, I have swept away all your sins like a thick cloud, and I have made your guilt vanish like mist disappearing into thin air. Now come back to me, for I have paid the price for you. And that verse, yesterday I posted that my desire is that Jesus would inhabit me with Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit would, can I say, be married to me. You know, it's like I talked about this, and I know a couple preachers have mentioned that there's a difference between a relationship, a visitation of Holy Spirit, and a habitation of the Holy Spirit. Well, I want the Holy Spirit to inhabit me, much like if a wife were to move in to her boyfriend's house, she would kind of take over and make it her own. So that's the kind of heart that I have right now. I want the Holy Spirit to inhabit me. I want, it's the Lord's desire, it's the Lord's heart's desire that his heart would be my place of refuge. And so I'm starting to walk in these things. I'm starting to learn how to do this stuff. And that's what I love about Jesus. It's a journey. It's not a destination. Salvation is a journey. It's not a destination. Yes, it's a destination that we get to go to heaven, but the journey in the middle is that we're being saved moment by moment. Okay, so we're going to John. First, I'd like you, if you want to help out in this ministry, go ahead and subscribe to my podcast, Tom and Sarah Abounding Hope. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is Tom and Sarah Encountering God. And then so if you would subscribe to them, like, comment, and share videos on here on Facebook, share these videos, like, and comment. That helps out with the ministry as well. All right. Praise God. John 17, starting with verse 11. I just love how God's glory, Jesus' glory, in verse 10, he says that my glory is revealed through their surrendered lives. Our surrendered life gives glory to Jesus. Verse 11, Holy Father, I'm about to leave this world. So now he turns his attention from talking to the disciples to talking to the Father. I'm about to leave this world to return and be with you, but my disciples will remain here. So what he's saying in this moment is that Jesus is going to leave, but he is going to multiply himself through his disciples. All right? He's multiplying himself through his disciples. And you have to understand that, because Jesus is one man. He can only, at that time when he was alive on earth as man, he was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. He can only touch people that were near him, that were acquainted with him, which was, at that time, was just Israel. And the Samaritans, the land of Samaria, Sychar specifically, and some other places. But it was just in his general geographic position that he was able to minister. But he says, I'm leaving my disciples and they will remain here. In other words, they are here to carry on the work. So I ask that the power of your name protect each one that you have given me and watch over them so that they will be united as one, even as we are one. Tremendous prayer here. He's asking that the power of God's character, what's God's character? Okay, we have the redemptive names of Jesus. We talked about the redemptive names of God, the God who is there, the God our peace, the God our shepherd, the God who is our provider, the God our victor or refuge, the God our righteousness, the God our physician and the healer. He is El Roy, if I pronounce that correctly. He is the God who sees me. He is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. His character never changes. God is good. His character of goodness never, ever changes. You can always count on God being the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the way that he shows his goodness, the way that he shows his power, the way that he shows himself, there's variables in that. How does God show that he loves us? Sometimes it's like my friend Tom up in Singletown. He has hummingbirds. You know, other people, it's a fragrance. Other people, it's a flower. Other people, it's a raindrop falling off a tree. Other people, it's an eagle. Other people, it's a it's a blossoming tree. I remember in Tacoma, Washington, Fife, where I used to live, there were these trees, and right about springtime, the color of these trees was so intense. It was like, wow. And then they were like a fuchsia color, and they were absolutely beautiful, this whole line of trees in this little park that I used to go running in. So Jesus, who is here, he's asking this tremendous prayer, Father, that they would be united even as we are united. That's what his prayer is. His prayer, it's the only prayer, if I'm not mistaken, it's the only prayer of Jesus that was not fulfilled, has not yet been fully fulfilled. We still have denominations arguing whether they should baptize as infants or baptize as older people. We have denominations arguing whether the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today or not. We have denominations wondering if healing is for today. We have denominations arguing over a certain pastor's journey in his life and revelation of the Lord over somebody else. And I'm not going to pick on anybody, but my goodness gracious, I love the Baptists. I love the Baptists immensely. They love the Word of God. They love the Word. But they have very little experience with God. In Hebrews, the writer says that we would exercise our graces. We would exercise the Spirit. We would exercise exercising of these. Of these things, we become stronger and stronger. Now, your muscles will atrophy if you don't exercise them. People who don't get out of bed, their leg muscles atrophy. I remember when I broke my arm, miracle here is crazy, but the miracle here is that when I broke my arm, my arm atrophied, my right arm atrophied, and I couldn't lifting was a hard thing afterwards, but I was able to rebuild those muscles. And then the miracle happened a number of just about 5 or 6 years ago, when the plate and the screws that were in my radius, the plate and the screws dissolved, and so it's not there anymore. That's a tremendous miracle, and I'm starting to get the muscle back. It's been a while. I still have a little crevasse there, but God is restoring the flesh, this restoring the muscle. I remember a testimony from Azusa Street where a guy had lost his arm at his business, and there was just a hole in his right arm. And they took off that prosthetic. They had a wooden arm that was attached, and you had to put the strap on. It's different now. But back then, they had a strap on his arm. So what they did was they ended up taking that prosthetic off, and then they prayed. Well, out came this, you know, from the bone there came, like, all of a sudden bone came out, like 4 inches at a time. And as that came out 4 inches, the sinew started to come on, and then the muscle started to come on, then the skin, eventually the whole arm was restored, and the last thing to come up was the fingernails. Okay, so they're arguing about this stuff. Why are we arguing about that? That, you know, now we can have differences of opinions, all right? We can have a difference of opinion. However, you can't negate the Word of God. You can be unified and have a different opinion. Husband and wife can be unified even though they may have different opinions about a certain thing. Now, there is a revival of the Word of God coming about. In other words, people are going to get hungry for the Word of God. But the Word of God, I want to be careful here, it's not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. He reveals what the Bible is teaching, you know, and the Word of God is made so that we can use it for reproof and training in righteousness. All Scripture, 2 Timothy says, all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for correction, reproof, and training in righteousness. So we can take the Scripture, and just remember, God has no problem in throwing a curveball in how we interpret the Scriptures. He's not locked into our opinion of what the Scriptures mean. You take the words, the Hebrew, the Greek, and the Aramaic, and you go, and he's not somebody who's just going to stick with that. He is above the word. He doesn't contradict it, but he contradicts our interpretation of the word. And he's more than welcome to do that. It's his word. But he would always be consistent. Now, I got to be careful here, because when you're talking about prophesying, remember, prophecy will always be confirmed in the word. All right? Prophecy will always encourage you. It will always comfort you. It will always build you up. That's New Testament prophecy. But it will never contradict God's word. God's not going to tell you, prophesy to you, to go and sin, to go and sleep with some gal, to go and drink till you're drunk, to go and murder somebody. That God will never tell you to do that. So Jesus is wanting us to be unified, standing together. Okay? In verse 12, wow, that was a long time. While I was with these that you have given me, all right, while he was with them, that while he was with them here on earth, God gave him to him. He kept them safe by his name that you have given him. All right? Not one of them. He kept us safe. So while he was with us, or while he was with these disciples, he kept them safe by the name of God, and that not one of them was lost, except the one who was destined to be lost, that son of perdition, which means that one that was destined to destruction. Obviously, he's talking about Judas. Betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver so that the Scripture could be fulfilled. I believe this, that if Judas had repented, if Judas had cried much like Peter did, I believe he would have been brought back. And then so he says in verse 13, but now I'm returning to you. So Father, I pray, I love this, I pray that they will experience and enter into my joyous delight with you so that it is fulfilled in them and overflows. This complete satisfaction that comes in knowing that our lives are pleasing to the Father and that we fulfill his desires on earth. This is the delight that Jesus shares with us, and he prays that we would experience it. I remember back in the 70s, when I was born again, we used to have bumper stickers were a big deal. You know, praise the Lord, and a bunch of others. But I remember my friend got a bumper sticker that says, please the Lord, that men may see our good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. We're going to take a break here in just a second. I want to remind you that I have two books out. Song of Songs, a 50-day journey into the heart of God. It's a devotional geared for 5 to 10 minutes a day. I have another one that says, and I love it, another one that says, From Breakdown to Breakthrough, My Journey to Soul Health. I had a nervous breakdown 5 years ago, and God restored me. And there's resources there for that, for soul health. You can get both of those from me at tomandsarah@outlook.com, tomandsarah@outlook.com. You can also get them from Barnes & Noble, Amazon, let me see who else, walmart.com. You can get them from all of those. I ask you again, please, go ahead and subscribe to my YouTube channel, subscribe to my podcast, like and comment and share these videos. And watch what God does. And just I'm just telling you, it helps the ministry. I'm going to be going to school next year. All right. Out of that, for the entire time, the $5,600 for school and the $1,400 for, and the $1,400 for the missions trip that I'd like to go on. Anyway, if you want to give into that, email me at tomandsarah@outlook.com. And I'll get you all those links, Cash App, Venmo, PayPal. Okay? Now, if you want to send a check, you want to send cash, don't send cash in the mail. That's silly. But anyway, Zelle, you can do that as well. Okay? I will send you the link for the school. If you just want to give it to the school for me, I will send that to you as well once it comes available. Right now, I have $140 in that have been given so far. And if you want to be a part of that, just let me know, tomandsarah@outlook.com. All right, in verse 14 now of John 17, let's continue. I have given them your message, and that's why the unbelieving world hates them. For their allegiance is no longer to this world, because I'm not of this world. I'm not asking that you would remove them from the world, but I ask that you would guard their hearts from the evil one. Guard them from Satan. That the implication here is that the accuser of the brethren is going to attack them, is going to discourage them, is going to try to destroy them. Well, the God of all gods doesn't want that. So he's praying. He says that we would be guarded. And one of the names of God is Jehovah Nisi, the redemptive names of God, that he is the Lord our banner, the Lord our banner, the Lord our victory, the Lord our refuge, the Lord our captain, the Lord, the Lord our banner is like, you know, when you have an army with a banner, you know, that's what he's talking about. We're not of this world. We're only visiting this planet. There was a song a while ago by Gary Paxton, I think it was, Gary S. Paxton, that we are only visiting this planet. We are strangers. We're aliens of this planet. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're just visiting here. You know, that's why Jesus got Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. He was only going to need it for the weekend. And so he only needed it for the weekend. verse 17. Your word is truth, so make them holy by the truth. Okay? God's word is truth. I remember I was in Bible college, actually, and one of the teachers said, we were talking about truth. He says, the Bible is not all true. It's not all truth. And I said, no, the Bible is all truth. The Bible is wholly true, and the Bible is all truth. And then he said, well, what about math? And I said, read numbers. He wanted them to be counted. How do you count? Math. Okay. Verse 18, I have commissioned them to represent me just as you commissioned me to represent you. We all know the Great Commission. And now I dedicate myself to them as a holy sacrifice so that they will live as fully dedicated to God and be made holy by your truth. The Aramaic translates it that way, this way. And in their sight, I will glorify or consecrate myself so that they will be glorified or consecrated by the truth. Okay? God wants to take us from one realm to another realm. He has commissioned us. He has commissioned us. You can go to Matthew 28, where he gives him the Great Commission to represent him, represent Jesus. Paul the Apostle says it this way, that he says that be an imitator of me as I am of Jesus. He didn't say be an imitator of religion. He didn't say be an imitator of these things. He said be an imitator of me, Paul said, be an imitator of me as I am of Jesus. Jesus doesn't want us to represent him or represent him in a religious manner. He wants to, Jesus broke religious tradition. Now, don't just break religious tradition for the sake of breaking religious tradition. Stand firm in the word of God. Remember, Jesus said that he is Lord of the Sabbath. As I was reading, as I'm reading in Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus, I'm just starting Numbers now. As I was reading, this whole thing about the Sabbath was incredible. It's not that you just don't do anything. It's that you're allowing your soul to be restored. One of the things that I did in my healing process of my nervous breakdown was I would take one day in seven not to do anything that I normally do. I wouldn't hide all the time. I would just do fun things. Your soul needs to rest. Your soul needs to come into the Lord's Sabbath. Do you think God needed rest? But he took it. Not that God's soul needed to be restored, but that God had to, God had modeled what it's like to actually to show people what it was like not to strive. Yeah, there's always something you can do, but you need one day in seven, or else you're going to drive yourself nuts. Stay away from religion. You know, the Jews tried to get out of this law, like so on, before the Sabbath, you're only allowed to walk like a quarter of a mile. So every quarter of a mile, they would put like some food so they can walk great distances. You know, so it wouldn't look like they were just taking a long trip. You know, it's just silly. When Jesus heals the man with the leper, the lame hand, the Pharisees got mad at him. Why did they get mad at him? Well, he performed it on the Sabbath. And then he said, which one of you, if you lost like a sheep or something in a ditch, wouldn't pull him out on the Sabbath? Isn't this man more valuable than that? Isn't this woman more valuable than that? The woman with the issue of blood? The guy who was lame for 38 years? Wasn't he more important? We get locked into straining, as Jesus says, straining at something really small, but we swallow the huge things. You're straining at that, swallow a camel. That's why Jesus said he is Lord of the Sabbath. We are made consecrated, holy, set apart by his truth. God's truth, not man's truth, God's truth. In America especially, politicians like to say that they're saved and stuff so that they can get the Christian to vote. Now, I vote primarily from my conscience. I don't vote in America. I don't vote straight party lines. I'm not going to mention any names, but there's one candidate that that I wouldn't vote for, even though she is on the party that I tend to vote a lot for. Whether Democrat or Republican, it doesn't really matter. Or independent. You have to be able to vote the way, you know, what is righteous in this case. I remember in 1972 that abortion became legal, but was abortion right? No. We have a lot of legalities that are still, they're still sin. It's legal to drink alcohol to excess. But it's not right. You have what we call a civil, I don't know if it's civil, I don't remember. It's like if a couple are living together for a long time, they're considered married. And they split, you know, everything 50-50 if they separate. Does that make it right? Does that make it of God? No. I noticed something about people in foreign in other nations that that actually have a desire to follow God. You know, I'm asking God to send missionaries to America. We are a post-Christian nation at the moment. And God wants to set us free of these things. John 17 is Jesus' prayer and has yet to be answered. We're not aligned. We have no allegiance to the world. We have an allegiance to Jesus. Now, if I lose my life because I love Jesus, so be it. If I lose my life because of being a Christian, so be it. They did that in the Roman Empire. I don't know, maybe I'm just rambling on, but I just wanted you to know that we are made holy by Jesus' truth. By the truth of the gospel, by the truth of the word of God. We're consecrated, we're set apart by the rule. All right, that's all we're going to do today. We'll pick up with verse 20 tomorrow, and hopefully we'll get to the end of chapter 17 tomorrow. But I just want to encourage you guys today, let's go for this thing. Let your hope be in God. Let your trust be in God. Psalm 118 verse, actually let's go there real quick. It's the middle verse of the Bible. Psalm 118. There's 11, 8, 8, 9 verses in the Bible. Verse 9 of 118, verse 9. It is much better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is much, you know, verse 8 and 9. It is much better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Verse 9. It is much better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or celebrities. Those are the two middle verses of the Bible. It's better to do that and to put your allegiance with God than it is to do anything else. So, anyway, that's it for today. We'll pick this up again tomorrow. And I want to thank you for joining me today. And understand that God loves you. He cares about you. Now, you know, if you want to get information about this ministry, Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com. Like, share, comment on these posts. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Subscribe to my podcast. That's a way you can help. Buy my books, Amazon.com. You can just put in my name and both of those books will come up. All right. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great day. If you want to give into this ministry, email me and I'll send you the links. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow.